Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, October the 19th, and welcome to our commentary. I have a post over at the American Thinker. I started talking about this yesterday, but again, the incident in London, Texas, or in London, England, what am I saying? London, England, where a bunch of people walked into a store and they started pouring milk on the floor, and it was a protest of some type. I guess they were angry at the emissions coming out of these plants that process milk and so on and so on. And, you know, whatever you may think of the merits of their argument, then, you know, I'm willing to listen to their argument. But when people engage in this kind of crazy stuff, when they go out there and they start destroying property or pouring milk on the floor of a store where people are buying their food or perhaps even getting their milk, I think they end up hurting their cause a heck of a lot more than they realize, because they come across as a bunch of young people who are more interested in just going on TikTok and putting their videos on TikTok or wherever they put their videos. They come across as young people who are more interested in doing that than actually having a serious conversation about whatever topic they have. And again, I'm willing to give these people the opportunity to make their case, but not by doing what they're doing, not by engaging in the tactics that they're engaging in, you know, where they think they're saving the planet and they have to do something dramatic like this to get our attention. So they think, well, oh my gosh, I'm saving the planet. Let me do something like this. So, you know, again, whatever your cause is, whatever you feel angry about, whatever you feel like you need to tell people about, I understand. We've all had issues like that over the years where we feel strongly about something. Whatever you feel strongly about, when you engage in tactics like that, immaturity and stopping traffic and keeping people from going to work or driving or whatever, when you engage in those kinds of tactics, you end up hurting your cause and you end up, turning off people. People who could potentially join your crusade, you end up turning them off. And that's what's happening here. So if you want to truly have an impact on people, you have to be serious. And you have to present facts, not just pure emotion. Because most people want to hear something factual. They don't want to hear another talking point about this or this or that. So check out my post. It's over at the American Thinker. The editor at the American Thinker included in the edition or the actual post a video, if you have not seen the video of this incident. And again, it's immaturity. It's completely idiotic what these young people are doing. It doesn't matter how important they feel about that. It's what they're doing that comes across so foolish. So check it out. I have it over at the American Thinker. It's on the right-hand side. Just come down and you'll see it. The title of the post is No Milk Today. That's the title of the post. Check it out. By the way, I also put it over at Truth Social. That's another website that I've joined here in the last few days. I haven't been able to make a lot of contacts over at Truth Social. So if you're a member of that website, check me out or like me or exchange contact information with me. So far, in several days, I haven't gotten anything. What I've done so far is post my American Thinker posts as well as the videos. And so far, I haven't gotten any feedback, so if you're over there, let me know if you like it over at Truth Social. Well, President Biden has been talking a lot about abortion lately. Have you noticed that? He was giving a speech, I think it was in Washington, D.C., giving a speech at a Democrat event, and he was talking about abortion, and he basically said that if you send back a Democrat House and a Democrat majority in the Senate, that he is ready to sign a codified version, or he's ready to sign a law that codifies Roe v. Wade. So the House would have to pass it, the Senate would have to approve it, send it to his to his desk, and he would sign the law codifying Roe v. Wade so that it's no longer an opinion of the Supreme Court. It is now the law of the land because it was passed by a legislature and signed by the president. So, you know, in theory, that sounds really good. In a campaign speech, it probably sounds even better. But in reality, it's not going to happen. So let's look at the reality of this. More than likely, he's going to get a Republican House. And I think it's looking better and better that he's going to get a Republican Senate. So that's never going to come out of a Republican House or Senate. So, and even if you had a Democrat House, you're not going to get 60 votes in the Senate for something like this. Because there may be 50 Democrats, let's say. They're going to need 10 more Republicans to pass this, and that's not going to happen. So it's never going to happen. And if it were to happen, let's really take this to that level, just to speculate. If it were to happen and the president were to sign it, the very next day, the state of Texas and 30 other states would be in the courts saying that he cannot do that. And you know what? Texas would be correct because the Supreme Court would say, we've already decided this. And we sent it back to the states. In other words, it's in the states where abortion is going to happen. There's only one place where abortion is going to happen right now in the United States, and that's in state legislatures. So this is why some states are going to have very liberal abortion policies. Other states are going to have more conservative abortion policies. But at the end of the day, I think, and I've said it before, I think most states will pass a compromise where they have a window to get an abortion 10 weeks, 12 weeks, something like that. And then, you know, late-term abortion will not be allowed. So that's where the country is. Now, there is a way for the pro-abortion people to make abortion legal, absolutely legal, unconditional in the United States. And that is they could pass an amendment to the U.S. Constitution. But that's even less likely because that would require, of course, three-quarters of the states to approve it. So three-quarters of the states would have to prove it to agree to it. Three-quarters of the state legislatures would have to say yes. And then at that point, it would become an amendment, and then the Supreme Court would not be able to do anything about it because it's an amendment, just like the women's vote is an amendment, just like the 14th Amendment, just like the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, and all of those amendments that we've heard about over the years. That's even less likely than to have a Congress codify Roe v. Wade. So why is President Biden engaging in this kind of fantasy? Why is he out there saying these things when he has got to know that it's never going to happen? The answer is the election. If you look at all the polling data that has been coming out on a daily basis, particularly as the pollsters move from registered voters to likely voters, very important distinction. Registered voters, likely voters. Registered voters are simply the people who are registered to vote. Okay, you go down to the elections office and they give you a list of registered voters. Likely voters are people who are telling you they're going to vote and they've already voted before. So likely voters is a much more reliable way of determining who's going to vote or who's not going to vote. The problem with registered voters is that half of them aren't going to vote anyway, because that's just the reality of American politics. Half of the people don't vote. Even though they're registered, they don't vote. So as you see the pollsters moving more and more to likely voters, what you're beginning to see is that the Republican lead is starting to grow. And you look at what they call the generic, or you look at different elections, and it looks very likely like the Republicans are going to probably pick up 25 seats in the House, could be more. And it looks like they'll pick up one or two seats in the Senate, and that's being conservative. So, you know, this is why the President Biden is talking and talking about abortion, because they're trying to get their base out. They know they've got a problem, and the problem is called inflation. Inflation is a huge problem, and they know that. And they know that they cannot talk about the economy. So all they can try to do is talk about abortion and hope that that gets people out to vote and they vote Democrat. Something interesting, too, about President Biden's speech. Have you noticed that he's not campaigning with anybody? I mean, he's basically, you know, he's basically speaking by himself. He's not campaigning with anybody. He's not going to Pennsylvania. He's not going to Georgia. Not going to Arizona. He's not going to Nevada. He's not going anywhere to campaign with any Democrats. And that's because they don't want him to campaign with them. Because this president is toxic as far as public opinion is concerned. So, you know, keep talking about abortion, I guess, all you want, but it's not an issue. It's not going to do anything in this coming election. There will be some districts where it could make a difference, but I think most of them are going to be Democrat districts where it may increase the number of Democrats who turn out to vote, but it's going to be a wash, I think, with the number of Republicans or pro-life voters who are also going to turn out to vote. So I don't think it's going to be a big issue, but that's all they have, and that's why they're talking about it. Well, let me conclude today by saying happy number 44 to Michael Young. Now, normally we say happy birthday to people who are older. 44 is still a very young man. But Michael Young, of course, the great player with the Rangers. He played over 15 years with the Rangers, was just an absolutely great Major League Baseball player. In fact, you could actually make a case for Michael Young in the Hall of Fame because he had the numbers. He had over 2,300 hits, a batting average of 300. So he has some of the elements to go to the Hall of Fame, probably will not get in because in order to get in the Hall of Fame, you got to have 3,000 hits, and Michael did not have that. But nevertheless, he was one of the most consistent players in Rangers history and in the major leagues. And I leave you with a question about Michael Young. You know, the Rangers right now are looking for a new manager. I don't think Michael Young is in the top list, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Rangers were to pick somebody like Michael Young, somebody who's popular with the fans and somebody who I think would relate to the players and somebody who the players would respect because he was such a great player. So again, I wouldn't bet any money on it, but I wouldn't be surprised if Michael Young at some point in his retirement decides that he wants to be a manager. It's a very stressful job these days to be a major league manager. I mean, it's very stressful because you're under a lot of pressure, and not only do you have to deal with the game and the players, but the media. So it's a much different job than it used to be. But I think Michael Young may just be the right character for a major league manager. I mean, I know he's got the integrity and the talent and the ability to lead people. So I don't know. Maybe he will. Not this time, but maybe down the road, he may be a major league manager. So happy number 44 to Michael Young. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.